Welcome back. You're here with Dave and Faisal on 770 CHQR and More Than Money. I think that was a fantastic couple of pieces. And the tease to stick around, Faisal, and we've been talking about this a lot, and I'm going to toot our own horn a little bit as some background, as we've had, I've had lots of year-end reviews and conversations with clients, mm-hmm. and I said at the top of the show that this was, you know, this is an extraordinary year, and it was an extraordinary year in many respects, but extraordinary years can often lead to extraordinary results, which we had. Okay, and the conversation I'm having with people is I'm very pleased that you're happy with the performance of how your portfolio did. Mm-hmm. But really what I want to talk to you about is the structure, discipline, and process we use to achieve that. Because I want you to be impressed with the process, right? I want you to be impressed with those elements. And those elements will lead to whatever the outcome is supposed to be.
Okay, so let's educate some people here about what you're talking about. When you look at your portfolio, and in the previous, before the break, Philip Peterson said, you could have fallen asleep on January 1st, woken up December 31st of 2020, looked at your statements and go, well, it's a pretty good year. And then you look at the news stories and go, oh my God.
Terrible.
What the heck
terrible
happened, year. Right?
Yeah, it's crazy.
So your portfolio did a pretty good job, and if you made money or didn't make money, if right. you were lucky or unlucky, the question you have right now is not, can I do that again? Will I either make money or not make money this year? That's not the question. The question is the process, the structure, the discipline to get those results going to repeat itself? Is it repeatable?
Yeah. And what are the goals? Like, what are the objectives for that process, structure, and discipline, right? So, understand that.
So I think what people need to question their advisors, or if they're a do-it-yourself investor, what you did this year. So when you look at your 2020 rate of return, no matter what, positive or negative, it doesn't matter. What was the structure? What was the process? And were you sticking to your discipline throughout the year? Mm-hmm. What you don't want is a money manager or yourself, if you're doing it, to just do whatever they feel like based on emotion or a theme.
Yeah.
You want to make sure that they are working with you on a structure that has been proven itself over time.
Right.
Because results in a given year can be lucky. You yep. don't want to be lucky or unlucky with your retirement, with your portfolio.
Correct.
You want to make sure that the person, the people that are in charge of your day-to-day movements of your portfolio have the skill, the will, and the structure to win.
Yeah, I talked to somebody this week, and, you know, this is a comment that we have talked about before. Just hang in there. It'll come back. Okay? And This was a client I was talking to.
I hate that comment.
In a review. I know.
I hate that comment.
And this was their comment about a couple that they know, a friend of theirs, who was quite nervous back in March. Just stick it. Just hold in there. And I said, you know, I said, that's not true. I said, just hang in there isn't the strategy. It's not the discipline. It's not the process you use to protect and profit as you go through these things. So let's talk about process. What the hell, what are we talking about when we talk about it? I'm going to talk about structure first, because people will be familiar with this, right? Those people that have a need for income, that income should not be invested in the stock market. That's our structure. That's what we believe. It should be separate from that and is not subject to the crazy volatility that they saw in March. That's a structure issue.
That's right? A big difference than what they're hearing out there, Dave.
Of course it is, particularly if you're dividend focused.
What they're hearing out there is just put all your money in a portfolio.
Agreed.
A mixture of everything, stocks, bonds, whatever,
right,
and then draw from that.
Yep.
That's what they've been educated on.
Right.
That's wrong.
Well, I agree with
that's
you.
That's wrong, because there's so much risk that you don't realize you have until a pandemic hits or right. until a financial crisis. And people talk about these as being outliers. If you're having these types of major crashes three times in 12 years.
Yeah.
It's not an outlier anymore. It's not a low probability of an event. It's happening.
Right. And it's not wrong because we say it's wrong. It's wrong because as you're approaching or living in retirement, you have multiple objectives.
Correct.
And you can't achieve multiple objectives with a single bucket.
So the income bucket that you need cash flow to live your life for, let's say, the next 10 years, you put that outside the stock market, put an income bucket, something safe.
Structure.
An objective is to beat inflation.
Right.
That's it.
Maintain the purchasing power of that money.
Then the rest of your money needs to replenish that income bucket every 10 years. This is where it gets tricky.
Yeah.
This is the process that we should be explaining that individuals and money managers should be looking at.
So our process starts with one fundamental objective is reduce volatility, reduce the risk.
Here's why. When you're looking for a rate of return, let's make up a number here, Dave, somewhere between 4 and 8%.
Yep.
That's what your retirement plan came up with. There's the number that you need to grow your portfolio on average in order to reach the goals to retire comfortably.
Live the lifestyle you want.
Correct.
Yes.
Now, when you have high gyrations in your portfolio, from big double-digit returns on the positive side to negative double-digit returns, what happens is it takes time to recover.
Correct.
So part of your money is being used to spend on a day-to-day basis for your lifestyle. The other part of your savings is used to grow to replenish that money.
Right.
And if those have wild gyrations or volatility, you may not recover in time
or
to draw.
Take years and years and years. We've seen that.
Which means you don't get that average rate of return of 4 to 8% that we were talking about in your retirement plan.
Got it.
Okay. So now, once you have that mindset, you have to reduce volatility, you still have to make a return.
Yes.
So the next step we look at, we call it an economic dashboard. We need certain key metrics that we look at every single time to see how it goes.
Yep.
In the pandemic, that economic dashboard, useless. Useless. Unemployment had to be high. Housing starts had to be low. We were shut down.
Well, so here's where I would maybe change the wording. It's not useless. You got to understand the context of the data that you're seeing.
Correct.
So the dashboard's still there, but when you have an artificial shutdown and you see unemployment skyrocket, you got to think through why that happened and what the outcome is going to be.
So what you're doing is you're doing deductive analysis over your rational thought. So you're basically saying these economic dashboard numbers, given the current situation, the pandemic is not going to work. We need to look at other pieces of data.
Yep.
One is investor behavior and history. We were pounding the table in March, April, saying whenever the markets fall 30 to 40%, it's Boxing Day shopping time.
And why? Why do you say that?
The amount of times that we've seen the markets fall this much, 30 to 40%, the recovery has been phenomenal within the next 12 months.
Okay, so this is really important. So this is just one example. There were a number of changes we made to the portfolio through
Absolutely.
The pandemic, which is why I object to just hang in there. That's the problem. No, don't hang in there. Get active.
Hanging in there means hold on and hope.
That's right. Okay. So this is a good. When you talk about historical research, you got the economic data, the dashboard, then you got the market risks, right? So now you got to factor in things like what's this pandemic, what kind of stimulus is coming in, interest rate, all of those things. Okay. Then you get to historical research. And when markets hit, that S&P dropped 34%.
Yep.
Right? What the historical data, the research told us, was that the risks were starting to tilt to the upside. And the average recovery from a minus 30 was between 6 months and 18 months. And of the 12 crises that we had over the past 50 years prior to that.
50 years, yeah.
50 years. Five times it hit a minus 30. Two times a minus 40. One time a minus 50. And so we knew it was time to start adding back to equity. What we didn't know was how quickly it would recover. The outcome we knew would happen. This is the point I want to make. The process says the outcome at this point means it goes higher from there.
Correct.
Now, did we know it was going to happen in 4 or 5 months? No. But we knew within historical timelines what we could do, what we could take advantage of. And that's what I mean by that historical research.
And then you need to look at consumer and market behavior.
Right.
And consumer market behavior said during a lockdown like this,
right.
People are stuck at home. The government has to do something about this,
yeah.
Number one. So here comes the stimulus.
Yep.
Number two, they're going to be concentrating their efforts, their spending on certain areas.
Sure.
And it was true.
Sure.
And that happened in the financial crisis in 2008 when people were losing their homes. They had to spend money on something.
Yep.
Where are they going to spend their money?
Right.
Wayne Gretzky taught me this. Go where the puck is going to be, not where the puck was.
Yeah. Or the high probability of where it's going to be, right? In this case, because there's no certainty, we've got to go where the high probabilities tell us it's going to be.
And that way, we can make sure that we capitalize on the opportunities without taking unnecessary risk so we can stay within that range of performance that we need to get so we can make sure our clients' portfolios are taken and have that retirement to be successful.
Right.
That's what the objective is. And so when you're going through this, the education piece that you can take away with this is you need to have a structure.
Yep.
You need to have discipline. But you need to have a process that you can write down, articulate it, and look at it on a time-by-time basis and say, no matter what's happened in history, this process works.
So go back. Here's our challenge to you before we finish up here this segment. Go back and audit your process.
Mm-hmm.
Go through 2020, audit the process, look at the structure and discipline, and did it work or not work?
If you have an advisor, if you have a money manager working with you, I don't care if they're picking mutual funds, exchange-traded funds, or buying individual stocks.
Yeah.
What's the process? Tell them to put it down in writing for you.
Yeah.
Not just say it. Yeah, we have a process. What is it in writing? And do you understand what the downside of that process is? And can you tolerate that downside?
Yep.
Because 2021 is going to be a very interesting and volatile year. Philip Peterson did say, get ready for a bit of a pullback, and we're going to be ready for that. And we'll talk about this on January 19th, 7 p.m., live online. You got to go to our seminar and register at morethanmoneyradio.com.
All right. Thanks for joining us for another edition. Here we go, 2021. We'll talk to you next week.
David Popowich and Faisal Karmali are portfolio managers and investment advisors with CIBC Woodgundy in Calgary. The views of David Popowich and Faisal Karmali do not necessarily reflect those of CIBC World Markets, Inc. Clients are advised to seek advice regarding their particular circumstances from their personal tax and legal advisors. If you are currently a CIBC Woodgundy client, please contact your investment advisor. CIBC Woodgundy is a division of CIBC World Markets, Inc., a subsidiary of CIBC and a member of the Canadian Investor Protection Fund and Investment Industry Regulatory Organization of Canada.